I think we should talk about Google Ocean.
Yes, we should. Let's
well,
move
actually,
on.
To be precise, it's Ocean in Google Earth. They're actually quite keen not to call it Google Ocean, even though everyone on the blogosphere is. But
so Google Ocean. Google Ocean is the as you say, 70% of the Earth's surface covered in water, and it wasn't on Google Earth before, and now it is. Ian asks the obvious question: isn't it all going to be blue?
Yeah, it strikes me as an absolutely wonderful con, this. It's sort of like Google margarine. I mean, isn't it just like, more water. Awesome.
It's actually really cool, some of the data they've pulled together to make this happen. I mean, it's more than just, you know, images of the surface of the ocean, although there are some of those images. Bizarrely. I don't really know why those are interesting, but anyway.
South Pacific yesterday, 321.
Exactly.
Wow.
They've got a whole load of bathymetry data of the sort of undulations of the seabed, so that, you know, if you want to find out where it's steepest and see, you know, the shape of the seabed, then you can. And there's also a whole load of information from various sources on the types of plants and animals that live there, and they've got information on tracking individual large species like sharks and whales and things that so you'll be able to follow where they go. They've got information on expeditions, for example, the Catlin Arctic Survey, which we've written about in the paper, in the Observer last week, for example, and you can follow that expedition as it unfolds and things like that. And then also, particularly for you, there's information on the best surf spots.
Can you see melting Arctic sea ice?
You can.
You can actually. Yeah. I think they've got a kind of time-lapse thing.
Yeah, the National Snow and Ice Center in the States has actually uploaded a ton of its data on the shape of the Arctic, you can... Because another bit of the announcement for Google Ocean or Ocean and Google Earth was the fact that they've now got historic maps, so you can see cities as they were 50 years ago, for example, and you can sort of cycle through what they look like to now. And you can also obviously do that for places like the Arctic if there's data. And the National Snow and Ice Centre has put this data up there, so you can actually look at the shape of the Arctic over the last 30 years. And you can see that in the early 70s and 80s and things, it was changing, not massively on average. And suddenly in the early 2000s, late 90s, it just shrinks. It completely shrinks. And you can even go forward with predictions and things, I think. But that's quite interesting. It's really very visual. There's quite a lot of climate change data actually in this. So you can see ocean currents and all this as well. One of the people...
Surface temperatures
of the ocean.
And stuff,
all of this stuff. And there's going to be more. I mean, at the moment, it's kind of... quite basic and visual, but the National Oceanographic Center in Southampton, which is one of the people creating layers for Google Ocean, for now they've just put the visual stuff up there, so pictures and that kind of thing, but they're planning to put scientific data up there. Now there's an issue with quality control, of course. You're not going to do science with this stuff, but they said that they want to use this sort of tool. Their students will use it, postdocs will use it, researchers will use it to share information. So if we go out on an expedition and they collect a lot of stuff, they can upload it immediately. And someone else in another part of the world can know exactly where that data has been taken and so on. The Catlin Antarctic Survey is going to be a very good example of the first time that's going to happen. So these guys, three of them, are going to go across the Arctic for, 100 days or something?
I think it's from the end of February to the beginning of May.
So for a while, they're going to be going across the Arctic. They're going to have huge amounts of telemetry they're going to send back, including video and all sorts of things, which I believe you can read about on our website. There was quite a funny story that I think, James, you spoke to Penn Haddo, who's going to be leading that expedition, about how they've got these, if they see a polar bear, for example, and they get worried, they've got this special button they can press. And I thought, when you were telling me the story, that this is going to be calling in helicopters and all sorts. No, the button's there to record what happens next. And that data is going to be available on the website, thanks to Google Ocean and Google Earth.
Yeah, it's like Grizzly Man, basically. They when they get into sticky situations, someone falls into a crevasse or falls into the water, they press the button and that records all their voice conversations, which is great. You know, you hear someone being mauled by a polar bear.
It does look quite beautiful, actually, and people obviously can make their own layers and things as well. I mean, I think I've not really had a chance to look through it properly because our computers here aren't allowed to download this sort of thing. But if readers and listeners have interesting things to check out, put them on our blog. For everything you want to know about this stuff, go to guardian.co.uk/science and guardian.co.uk/environment.